Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now 8:30, the Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study, Words of Wisdom, Bible Study Hour. And it's always a pleasure and an honor and with a thanksgiving heart that God allowed me one more week to come and be with all of you. And you have taken time out of your busy schedule to come here, explore the Word of God together. And as we do this on Wednesday, God find favor in your faithfulness and your commitment. This is truly a day that God has made. We all should rejoice, and we should be glad in it. You know, we have to learn how to rejoice in all things, in season and out of season, because no matter what you're going through, God is in control. And as we get ready for our program tonight, I want you to know that the lesson is coming from Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 5th through the 19th verse. And the title of our lesson tonight is Your Entire Life is a Praise Report Unto God. And you might say, Sister Diane, why are you saying that? You know, so many times we think about certain things and we give a praise report only about some things. But tonight I want to let you know that your entire life is a praise report unto God. And as always, we have to give God the honor, the glory, and all of the praise because he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. And before we start our program, we always go to the throne of grace. And if there's someone on the line and in the studio that would like to pray, you could press the one button at this time, and I'll open your mic, and you could be able to lead us in prayer. If no one would like to pray, I thank God that Madison is with me tonight, and he is willing, and praise be to God that he's able. You see, something like this, like, you know, Madison always being with me on Wednesday and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ to stand before you guys and pray. You know, that's a praise report. So we got to open up our minds and our hearts and understand that God is worthy of all the praise, even in your trials, your tribulations, your tests, and even in your mess. God is worthy to be praised. Because no matter what you're going through, God is right there in the middle of it. And even if you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan. God say nothing happened to you can take him by surprise, and yes, he do understand. Keep that in mind, and that will give us a heart of praise. You know, it will give us a spirit to praise, and we will be prayerful and praising God all the days of our lives. And at this time, I'm going to bring Madison for the open us up with prayer and receive him and pray for him as he open up with prayer and let us enter into the throne of grace. Here's Madison.
Good evening, everybody. And yes, I do have a praise report. Well, in school, I was struggling in math. And then God helped me. I started getting better grades in math, and that helped me reach a better GPA to get higher than the A honor roll. Thank you, God. Now let's go into prayer. God, thank you. Thanks that we have a new lesson and that we don't just continue with the same lesson all the time. We use different lessons to teach things about you, God, and different lessons for people who know more about these things than others. Thank you for people logging on tonight and to choosing our Rock Talk Radio and just not tune in just to have something to do and not pay attention but just listen to what we have to say about God. And thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, thank you, Madison. They have more people called in. I'm going to say the topic and the scriptures one more time. And I pray that each and every one of you had a chance to read the posted scripture, which it was the Philippians, the fourth chapter. And even though we're coming from the fourth verse, the fifth through the 19th. And the title of our lesson tonight is Our Entire Life is a Praise Report unto God. As always, I do some background on someone that maybe wrote the book, the author, the people that was living in the place at the time. So, of course, we know that Paul is the writer of the book of Philippians. And he was writing to the Philippians was the people that lived in a place called Philippi, and they had established a church. And the book is called Philippians. You see, Paul wrote this letter while in prison in Rome. The book contains, as I said before, only four chapters. The letter to the Philippians is Paul's joy letter. And to me, he's given a praise report unto God. You see, this letter emphasized the real joy of Christian life. And we should rejoice with Paul as we read the book of Philippians. After reading the book of Philippians, I pray that it helps us to rededicate ourselves in finding joy in Christ. Because you know, joy only comes from God. People are walking around day after day in a spirit of happy. But I know you remember that happy only happens when something happens. Joy is what can stand the test of time. Joy could weather the storm. Joy don't get knocked down by the waves of the sea. Joy know how to ride the tides. Come on now, y'all. You see, I'm talking about joy, rededicating ourselves to finding joy. You see, if we want the joy, we have to look for it. We have to find it. When we find it, we got to embrace it. When we embrace it, we begin to believe it. And if we believe it, we begin to achieve it. You know, God has provided all of these things, joy, love, peace, mercy, grace, and all of these things. But we got to do our part. We got to get in position to receive these things of God. You see, joy is what allows us to have a praise report no matter what we are facing in our lives. And I hope you enjoyed the book of Philippians, because when you was reading the book of Philippians, you see in the first chapter, he talked about Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And he's saying, even if I had to die, I count it as gain. And then when Paul starts writing in the second chapter, he said, for it is God, 2 and 13, that worketh in me both to will and to do his good pleasure. Paul is saying it is God that worketh in him. Do you know it's God that's got the work in you to get his pleasure? And God established that in the word. So that should allow you to enter and rest and only submit and obey and receive. Get yourself in position to receive the things of God, for it is God which worketh in you both to will, that means to give you the desire, and to do, which means to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish for his good pleasure. You know, if we went to the third chapter, and I hope y'all read it, Paul is talking about pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. You know, he's saying, you know, I don't always do what is right. He said, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing. He said, I'm going to forget the things that behind me and teaching forth to those things which are before. See, that's the third chapter 13. Then when he got to the 14th verse, he said, but I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You know, this is Paul's joy letter. If you need to read it again, because every time you read it, you're going to pick up something different and something new and something fresh. Because I tell you all the time that I can only give information, but it is God that, it is the Holy Ghost that work it in you to give you revelation and illumination. So if you need to, read it again. And at this time, I'm going to play a song because this song, it's so appropriate. And then we're going to come and we're going to explore the scriptures together. And that was Smokey Northport. Still, I say thank you. That song was letting us know that no matter what situation we may be in, no matter what we are going through, it's still an opportunity to give God a praise report, give a praise report unto God and to say thank you. Because, you know, where you're at right now don't have nothing to do with where you're going to be. God promised never to leave us, so you know he's right there with you. You know, when we start going through things, some people back up. They stop going to church. They stop wanting to hear anything because they feel what they are feeling is just so isolated and it's so much that they can't hardly bear it. And they start backing away from God and they feel like they can't feel his presence. But I come to tell you tonight, God has never left us. We separate ourselves from God. But in the midst of whatever you're going, like he's saying, in the midst of your tests, God still have provisions. In the midst of your mess, God still provided provisions. We can rest assured that what God said, he is willing and able to do it. And God loves you. And he will never forsake you. You just hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister, till your change come. And we fixing to go into the scriptures now. I'm going to read the 5th, the 6th, the 7th verses. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, do you want the peace of God? The scripture just told you through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Bring it to God. And if you do that, 7th verse say, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. When we look at this scripture, the first thing they say, let your moderation. Let me tell you, moderation means, you know, that you should be gracious and reasonable unto all men. You see, this is how we should treat everybody, not just people we like, but we should have holy conversation, and we should do things in moderation and don't be all over the top and pointing your finger and, you know, maybe cursing, but we should have moderation, which is reasonable, to have peace with all mankind. You see, this world has so much anger and strife, which will get you into trouble, and trouble is easy to get into, but hard to get out. You see, with God, all lives matter. You know, we had to, you know, they got the thing going on, Black Lives Matter. Yes, black lives do matter. White lives do matter. All lives matter to God. So we have to be careful how we treat God people, how we present ourselves before God people, and how we handle God people. And even the people that's not saved, you handle them with gentleness and graciousness and be reasonable, and they may see the God in you and decide to make God their Lord, their Savior, and their Master. This scripture is letting us know that Christ is coming back. It said it in there, y'all. And how we treat one another will be noticed. Come on. So watch how you treat people, because when Jesus comes back, how we treat one another will be noticed. And then he goes on to say, be careful for nothing, which means don't worry or become anxious about anything, because God is in control. And you got to remember this. God does what he wants, when he wants, for who he wants. But he is always working it out for our good and his intended purpose. You see, you can't leave that out, because you see, we want everything we want, but when God, come on now, when God created you, he placed in you an intended purpose. And when Philippians 2 and 13, what I read earlier said, it is God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasures. He's talking about that intended purpose that's going to give him pleasure, because that's the purpose he had for you. And what God has for you is for you. And that was a part of the purpose that God needed for kingdom building. You see, everybody in this world plays a part and has a purpose and have an intent. But you see, God made all of us unique, and that's why there's no two of us. So what God gave you in his intended purpose, it is necessary in the kingdom. Now that's a praise report in itself. Can you even imagine never being anxious about anything? It seems like it's impossible. Because, you know, we all worry about things on our job, in our homes, at school. But Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayer. But don't just pray, but pray with thanksgiving. Come on now. And add supplication. Supplication means go humble. Supplication means you bringing this prayer request to God because you realize that you need a higher authority. And you need someone who has power to accomplish it. So when you add supplication with thanksgiving to your prayer, you are recognizing God as who he is, and he can do what you need to do. Do you want to worry less? So I'm going to give you a little simple solution. Then pray more. And if you must worry, then there's no need to pray. And if you pray, then there's no need to worry. You could believe it, because that's the real deal. Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray with that supplication. I mean, go humbly and earnestly to a higher authority and power. And our authority, higher authority and power, is God, along with Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Master, and our Comforter and our God, which is the Holy Ghost. God peace is different from the world's peace. True peace is not found in positive thinking. Come on now. It is not absent of conflict. And it's not just a good feeling. You see, true peace is not found in those things. It truly comes from knowing that God is in control and you can trust him. You see, you can't have peace unless you trust. And you can't trust somebody you don't know. That's why the Word of God tells us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we will know who he is, we will know what he's about, we'll know what he'll do, and we'll know what he have done, and we'll also find out what he promised to do in each and every one of our lives. But we got to trust him. You know, your citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure. Our destiny is set, and we have the victory over sin, but we must learn to be content in whatever state we are in. If you thank God for what you have and learn to trust him for what you need, come on now, there's nothing left after that. If you learn to thank God for what you have, and then trust him totally for what you need, God's peace will guard your heart and mind against anxiety, fear, you know, and all of these things that Satan is setting up to take you down. You see, God's peace far surpasses our understanding of the problem that we in. You know, we in a problem, and we know God, and we love God, and we, you know, calling upon the name of God to show us what is this all about. You know, is this a test? Am I going through this to be matured or whatever? And you're always, but you know, we can't understand the problem, but he did tell us we're going to understand it by and by. And he also say, while you're in the problem, do all you can do, then stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You see, praying is our solution for anxiety, not just for some things, but all things. While God is eager to hear our requests, they are to be accompanied with a thanksgiving, with a right attitude, with the right intent, lining up with the word of God. If you do that, it is the beginning of all peace. You know, one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. Thanksgiving is your praise. Hallelujah. You see, every time when I say that, just not, the Holy Ghost, thanksgiving is your praise. So what that's saying, when you are thankful, you're giving a praise report then. We got to stop thinking about this praise report is only when and if and how you think that it was God that made it happen, and then you want to shout a praise report. But you got to realize your entire life is a praise report unto God. How many dangers seen and unseen that you don't even know that God has brought you through? So if they told you we will be confronted with dangers that are seen, and there's many dangers unseen, but through it all we come through it, that's a praise report. Come on now, y'all. Come on. God is truly in the blessing business, and he's working it out. You know, when you didn't have no money, but yet you had four walls and a roof over your head, praise report. Come on now. Don't praise him for just the biggest supernatural things that you did, things that couldn't happen without him. But let me tell you this, nothing in this world happens unless God orchestrate it or allow it. And that's enough to give him praise. In your good time, praise him. In your bad time, praise him. He might have not set the bad up on you because it could have been brought by Satan or it could have been done by yourself. But through it all, if he allows it and is allowing it, he's going to work it out good together for your good, because whatever the Satan has set up, you know God could turn it around for the good. Give a praise report unto God. Hallelujah. We're going to read the 8th, the 9th, and the 8th and the 9th verse. And Paul went on to say, remember this Paul love letter, it's epistle. You know, Paul wrote 13 epistles, and epistles is a letter, and he wrote this one, as I said earlier, while he was in prison in Rome, and I call this his joy letter, and I call this his praise report. So keep that in mind as you hear and go and as we explore the word of God together. In verse 8 and 9, they say, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye both learned, everything you ever learned. And plenty of y'all might be saying, well, I got so much to learn. Yeah, but on the things that you already know. What you don't know, you don't know. But what you know, if you make it a true fact and you get committed to it, it'll carry you to where you want to go. But he said, those things, this in verse 9, which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me. He said, do those things. So if you do what you learn and you do what you heard and you do what you receive, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, that's good for everybody. They didn't say anybody who knew everything. They didn't say, you know, you had to hear everything, but the things which you have learned, received, and heard, and see me do. He said, just do it. Don't be just a hearer of the word. Become a doer of the word, and the peace of God shall be with you. What we put into our minds determine what comes in our words and even our actions. God has given us his word, and we should think on what God has said, not how we feel or what we see. Come on now. That's what people do. We should. What is telling us? God has given us his word, and we should think on what God has said, not how we feel or what we see. You see, you must do as 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for those who are writing, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, casting down imaginations and everything that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what the scripture says. You know, our mind play tricks on us. Our mind take us to places we get there and don't even know how we got there. Remember, Satan can only play in your mind. So for you to have this peace, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 say, cast down imagination and everything, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then when it's the other thing, the scripture say, what you have heard or what you have seen, and Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, you don't need faith for what you see. So if you're going through anything or have gone through anything, while you're in the midst of it, you're trying to see the outcome and you're trying to see it all and you're trying to put it all together to get rid of it faster because you feel like you got to play a part to get it all done. But you see, faith steps in there, and you hold on to the confession of your faith because faith is the substance of things that you're hoping to happen and the evidence of things not seen. Golly, this is good. We should program our mind with thoughts that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Come on now. We have to be careful what we let into our mind. Satan is putting all kind of distraction in our path. He used fear, which is not of God. Come on now, y'all. Hate, which is not of God, because God is love. He puts lies, which is not of God, because God is true. But you see, you don't, if you don't know that Satan is a liar and a tempter and all of the characteristics of Satan, when these things come, you might not even realize it's him. You see, and sometimes we have accepted the things that Satan has put in our mind so long, we can no longer see the danger. And we begin to compromise our faith, you know. Well, I'm going to do this. It ain't so bad. You know, don't worry about it. God ain't worrying about that. You know, we start compromising our spirit and compromising our faith. You have to remember that everything that the devil set up for our bad, God can turn it around for our good. And God gives us examples. You know, we can look at Job. You know, he got double for his trouble. And in the end, it was only a test. So this lets you know you may have a test. You may be going through a test. Not a test. He may be bringing you through something to mature, to get you to where he wants you to be, to receive what he got to give you. Because you can't get it right now. Because you're not mature enough. And if he give it to you now, you're just going to mess it up. Hallelujah. He's saying, I'm going to get you right. I'm going to get you in position to receive what I have for you. And sometimes you got to go through a trial or a tribulation to get where he's trying to bring you to. Because you're just thinking about, oh, I'm going through. But you don't realize that God is trying to get you to the blessing he has in store for you. You know, you have to watch things that you put, you know, put into your mind. And Satan uses all kind of distractions, you know, television, internet. You know, and I'm not saying these things are bad. But some, you know, some of us are stronger than others. Some of you can look at it and bless it up. But you got to watch what you let into your spirit, because God say, guard your heart and your mind with due diligence. Everybody can't look at all of this stuff and be all right, but you have to judge yourself. And it's not good enough to hear or read the word of God or even to know it. It must be put into practice. And the way you do that, hold on to the confession of your faith, because a praise report is in everything. And if we look at that, we will never be sad. We will never interfere. We will never doubt, because there's praise in everything. Our entire life should be a praise report unto God. But you got to recognize it. You got to understand it. And if I read 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and it says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And then Paul goes on to say, not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, wherewith to be content. That's power, y'all. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But Paul said, I'm still going to give a praise report. Hallelujah. He said, because this is what he said in 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, look what he said. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may be abound, credited to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, pleasing to God. This is Paul's praise in the midst of his stones. The Philippians shared Paul's financial support while he was in prison. But look at this. Paul didn't accept everyone's support because he didn't want them to believe that he was only doing it for the money. But he accepted it from the Philippians because their gifts, they were willing givers, and he was in need. But he also was letting them know that, you know, it's the church's responsibility to support the men and women of God. No matter what he had or didn't have, hallelujah, he would be content because he was thankful for what he had. And he trusted God for what he needed. You see, because of this, Paul was able to rejoice in the Lord greatly. See, that's what he said in the scripture. Paul was able to rejoice in the Lord greatly, giving a praise report, no matter what state he was in. Can we learn to do that? Do we want to do that? The reason I chose this lesson tonight was because, you know, last week, and many of you know that I had to go back to the National Institution of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, where I had my surgery. And they called me back in for a year report because they wanted to see, of course, if, you know, I had part of my pancreas removed, and they wanted to see that it had maybe healed, that it wasn't, you know, the surgery was done correctly and all of that. And you know, if they might have had any more tumors growing, or was there any metastasizing going on, or whatever. So they just wanted to check me out. I left on Sunday. I came back last night, and I had told you guys last week that I may not do the program, but God told me yes. And I knew because I had so many people texting me and saying, you know, it's going to be all right. We're just waiting for the praise report. But, you know, so last night, which was the day before the lesson, I was instructed by God to pick Philippians, and that's how I went here, you know, looking at Paul and seeing how he's giving a praise report, not in just big things, but in all things. And besides that, you know, I believe, you know, it's all a praise report for me, because whatever would have came out, again, I tell you, God has to orchestrate it all out, and whatever God does is well done. And you know, you don't get to pick your outcome, and your outcome is just not bad. Your outcome is not bad if God decided. It's just the way you take it. It's not what come in our lives. It's who we go through it with. And we have to get to the point that if we truly trust God, that he had a master plan before the foundation of the world, and everything in your life was planned, and everything in your life is there, and everything that God expects is there. You have to just cooperate it and go through it. And then you see, as Paul said in the other thing, to live is Christ. You know, even if I got a different report, I just have to say it is well. Because I'm going to always believe the report of the Lord. Not just the good, but the bad, and sometimes ugly. Not to God, but maybe to me, because I'm only human, and I'm living in flesh. So we have to realize, and that's how we begin to be content with whatever it is. Because if we trust God, trusting God is saying that God knows best. You see, Paul would be content because he see life from God's point of view and was always thankful to God for what he has done. Come on now, y'all. Y'all might be going through right now, but let's think about all that God has done in your life, what he's doing right now. And God, hallelujah, for what he promised to do. We have the victory, y'all. And everything that God had for you will not be experienced on this side. Keep that in mind. How can we find true contentment? You see, the answer lies in our perspective. Perspectives, our priorities, and who is our source. God doesn't give us supernatural, Superman abilities to accomplish everything the way we want to without regards to his will of his or his interest. You know, everything that you want, God ain't even in it. And how you want it, he ain't in it. You have to line your prayer, your supplication, and your request up with the will of God. You know, everything must be lined up with his will, his intent, and his purpose. And, of course, a lot of people don't know that, because if you don't read the word of God, you don't know his intent, his will, or his purpose. But, you see, Paul knew that plenty of the weapons that would form against him would not prosper. So because of that, he continued to be content, which is a praise report. Learn to be content while waiting for your change to come. When Paul was talking about giving and everything like that, you know, you got to ask the question, what makes money so magnetic and giving it away so stressful? Paul was letting them know that giving is not just for the receiver, but it's also for the giver as well. He says so that it could be accounted to your account, and you will be establishing an internal partnership. Excuse. Many of us know how to give, but we don't know how to receive. God wants you to be a thankful receiver and a cheerful giver. You should learn to accept gifts. Not just because you want it, but the giver can receive credit to their account. And let me tell you something else. You may be the only person that person is willing to give to. And with your thanksgivingness that you extend to the giver, it may encourage them to give to others as well. And we read the last verse tonight, And the last verse says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, they said grace is God's riches accomplished by Christ Jesus. Look what the scripture said. For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. All that God had, his riches for you and for I, with the death of his son on the cross. He said, through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, he's going to supply all you need. Can you believe it? Do you trust it? You see, we must trust that God will always meet our needs. That's why when people have problems and faint and fall out and get so nervous and anxiety set in and get a heart attack and be stressed and have to go to the doctor, because they don't believe that God can fix the problem. God can fulfill the need. Whatever you need on earth, he will always supply. The provisions are already placed in place for you. Even if it is the courage to face death, as Paul did. You know, the worst thing in the world is not to die, but to die without your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And, you know, that is what gives us victory. Victory is already ours today. We're not fighting to win the race. The race is already won, and we have the victory. You see, and then that's this side. And whatever we need in heaven, he has already supplied the provisions there. Praise report should be given for everything on earth and everything eternal, because it is accomplished. Have you ever gave God a praise report that Jesus is your Lord, Savior, and Master? Have you ever gave God a praise report saying, God, thank you for your Holy Ghost who leads and guides me, because I know not which way to go. I know what not to pray for. Praise report. Let's take it out of one dimension. Come on now, y'all. And let us learn to trust and be thankful and then live with praise in our lips and on our mouths. In our mouths. God's master plan before the foundation of the world is accomplished. Trust it, cooperate with it, and learn to live within it. We must remember the difference between our wants and our needs. Most people want to feel good and avoid discomfort or pain. Sometimes when there is no pain, there will be no gain. Hallelujah. We may not all get what we want by trusting in Christ. Our attitude and our appetite can change from wanting everything to accepting his provision, his power that he has given us and allowing us to live for him. And, y'all, this is only our reasonable service. And as I come to a conclusion tonight, if you begin thanking God for what you have and truly trusting, which is to say that God knows best for what we need, you will enter into the true essence of joy, peace, commitment, thanks, you know, and then you will be thankful and have thanksgivingness, which brings a spirit of praise. So when you think of this praise report, take it out of the one dimension. Our eternal life is a praise report. You see, God gave shoes on our feet. He woke us up this morning and started us on our way. Hallelujah. Every piece of food you eat and the shoes you have on your feet is a praise report. Have you ever praised him for that? Have you ever told someone, let me give you the praise report, you know? I don't have one pair of shoes. I have 10 pair of shoes. And he said, open up the windows. You won't have room enough to receive it. That's mean, you know, bountiful, more than enough. That's a praise report. When we start thanking God for what we have and trusting him for what we need, we will enter a life filled with praise reports unto God, for he is worthy. God said he lives in the praises. He loved the praises of his people. Praise him, y'all. Give praise reports one unto another, not about the great big things you think, but the simple things. And then that way you can stop talking about everything if you use your mouth. Like he said, you know, let us have conversation in moderation. And we start to do that. We have more things to say about God than the world or the TV shows. Come on now, or each other. Not just the good things, but in all things. In spite of everything that you have been through, you should be able to say thank you. Matthew 11:30 says, this is God, Jesus speaking, for my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. We make it complicated. God did not make a plan for us that we would never be able to achieve. And there is nothing that will happen to you that is not common to man. But God always gives a way to escape. God is doing all the work necessary in you, but you must obey and submit. Whatever you need, God got it. Be thankful and live the life that is given unto you. God make no mistakes. So whatever you're going through, if he allowed it, he don't make mistakes. Our entire life is a praise report, not just the supernatural, but also the natural. The word for God, the word of God is our reason to praise in season and out of season. Remember, God is working all things out together for our good. Praise him in good times, while you're going through, and when you come out. In all things, be content and praise God, because he's worthy to be praised. And that's our program for tonight. And as always, at this time, if anyone would like to make a comment, add to this. You know, this is, I tell you all the time, this is our Bible study. And you may say something that I didn't think about that can enhance the lesson. I tell you all the time, I don't know everything. And I welcome that. So if anyone would like to say anything, if they want to give a praise report, if they have something to say, press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. And, you know, like I tell you, God dwells in the praises of his people. God, you know, want to be praised. But if anybody have anything they would like to say or add to the lesson, press the one button on your phone. I'll open your mic. If anyone would like to pray or sing a song or do anything, you could, you know, press the one button on your phone, and we'll open it up. So it's now 9:26. You know, we always end at the 9:30 hour. And if no one has anything to say, or they have no desire to maybe sing or pray, plenty of times when the program is over, people say, I wanted to say something, but I'm too shy. You know, if you say something, the people don't even know who you are. But I do understand and it's very much okay. Caller number, your phone number is 504-957. Your mic is open.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing your message with us tonight. It was really encouraging, and I'm just thankful for all that God is going to do, and I'm grateful that he's using you to reach so many people and that you are just showing that testimony of a heart that's open to sharing when people really, are questioning and having a lot of things. I'm just grateful that God allowed you life and testimony that, and that you're just so open with sharing with people. It's a ministry. So,
and I want to thank you so much for that, them words of encouragement. And I pray that you keep calling back. Would you like to share your name?
Oh, I'm Christy, Missy Lee's stepdaughter.
Okay, that's Sister Christy. I thought it was you, but I wanted to make sure because, I could see the numbers. They don't have names.
Yeah.
But I knew your voice, but I wanted to just make sure. And thank you so much for taking time and calling in. And I pray that the words won't return void and that God will, use what you heard to get, to speak to your heart.
Your testimony is such a light, and it's an inspiration. It makes me feel like, I should even be more open to try to share my faith with people who are just really searching. There's a lot of people in the world that are searching, but, sometimes we kind of let our light dim. So I think it's good what you're doing. You're encouraging.
And, one of the greatest commandment that God gave us is that we share. Because the way it's designed, that Jesus said he's not coming back until everybody has heard the word of God. And some people will not hear it and receive it and accept it unless it comes from certain people that God has ordained to give it to them. So we wouldn't want to miss that. You know what I'm saying? And we don't know who it is and who it ain't. And if there is someone or if they're not, but we don't want to take the chance. Because it's all of our responsibility to help Jesus to come back. And the Bible said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
So I thank you, Christy, and I pray that you are able to call back on Wednesday. And, Wednesday I won't be here, you guys. I'm going on a class reunion cruise with my classmate. We celebrating our 45th year anniversary, and I won't be here, be at home on Wednesday, but I'll definitely be back on the next Wednesday. And thank you again, Christy. Those words of encouragement is what I needed. See, and sometimes people don't realize, they'll say, well, you gave us this, and you they don't know. And like, I'm just human too. And sometimes I wonder if what I'm doing makes sense, if anybody enjoying it, and all kind of things like that. How would I know unless they speak it and I can hear? I'm not asking people to speak because it'll make the program better or it'll give me ratings, because it don't even work that way. But I want us to begin to fellowship one with another. And your testimony could help me and mine could help you and the body of Christ coming together, and they could realize that they not no isolated case. And that's how you begin to build up. But I thank you again for the words of encouragement. And be blessed.
Thank you.
And I'll see you not this week, but next week. And thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you.
And you as well. If anybody else would like to say anything, if not, I'm going to just go over the, because it's now 9:30. I want y'all to remember and keep being prayerful for the people on our prayer list. And some more got added to it. And when I did this lesson, it was something that God got killed, Will Smith. The scriptures tonight open up with be reasonable and gracious with one another. If we could just learn that, it maybe could have solved that. And the other week around my house, four people got shot, and they struggling for their life, and it was probably because of some words that someone said to the other one that they just didn't like. But yet we can't be reasonable with one another because we lean into our own understanding and we're making it up as we go, and we don't have God in our hearts. And that's why we got to share the word with everybody. But the prayer list goes on, and y'all remember the names because I don't want to keep you late, and I'll have another completed updated list. But we got Elise Parker. We still praying for her. We still praying for Cynthia Sanders. We are also, I got a call from a guy that I know he wants us to pray for his brother. His brother's name is Frank Jones. He's in ICU. The people who I told you got shot, three of them is in the hospital right now trying to recover and do for their lives. And it's the Jackson family, and I'm asking you to pray for them as well. I'm asking you to pray for the guy in the night ward, Big D, Darryl Terrence. Pray for him. You know, we still have Sister Barbara Hawkins on the list that is still asking for prayer. Diane McBride and her sons. Hallelujah. Please pray for my son and my grandson and even my daughter. Hallelujah. If anybody want to say anybody, call somebody's name out for the prayer list at this time, you could press the one button. If not, no one pressed the button, I'm going to go into prayer, and we're going to continue to pray for one another. We're going to continue to pray for one another because God answers prayers. But at this time, I'm going to go ahead and do the closing prayer and the benediction so I won't hold you long. But continue to pray for one another. Pray for the program. Pray for the people that's on the program. We meet together every Wednesday night. We form in a family. We form in a fellowship. And we should learn to pray for one another. And I'm going to go ahead and close out with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that went forth on the night. We thank you, dear God, for your scriptures. We thank you for Paul, dear God, your servant. We thank you for Paul teaching us how to give a praise report in the midst of our storms and being content with whatever state we're in. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything that transpired. I pray that the word don't return void, dear God, and that you, Holy Spirit, will step in and give illumination and revelation to the people. I pray for everyone on the line, the people that done hung up, the people that have called in the past, the people that have a desire to call in heaven. Lord, I pray for these callers, dear God, that they will find the peace that surpasses understanding, that their finances will get intact if that's a situation, dear God, that their health will come under submission of God, dear God, and that their lives will be totally and totally free in the things of God, dear God, realizing that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Teach them, dear God, how to hold on to the confession of their faith, not compromise their spirit or their faith for the things of this world. The world don't love nobody, dear God. And I ask that you rebuke Satan, whatever plan he has. Stop it, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I look forward to being my people, not next week, but the week after that. And I pray you give me a mighty word to come back with. And I pray that I find everything in order and everyone's house is in order, dear God. Bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. And this is our praise report, and I say thank God for all that you have done, all that you're doing right now, and all that you promised to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and thank God. Well, that's our program tonight for the night. As always, I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And I'll see you back when we see each other back, whatever God allows. You know, if it's God's will, we'll be back. And I pray that all of you come back and we be together. In Jesus' name, amen and good night.